806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And text lines open for you as well at 343-0106. I want to bring to the air, as we mentioned a second ago, Secretary of the Veterans Administration, Robert Wilkie, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Oh, well, thank you all for having me, and thank you for getting me virtually out of the swamp.
Yes, at least on the telephone. You've got a lot of roots down here in the South. You're a southern guy, even though didn't I read you were born in Germany?
Well, my father was a young Army officer. He was a young officer at he was attached to the 3rd Armored Division. So I was born there, but my brother and sister were born in New Orleans. My parents live in North Alabama, and we cover the whole South. And you told me not to mention this, but my son is at Clemson.
Well, you know what? Because you're doing such good work with the VA, we'll leave that one off the scorecard for right now.
Yeah, but Dabo's a local boy. You got to like him.
That is true. That is true.
That's right.
All right. Thinking about this, being born on a base like that, having a lifetime around the military, obviously you're very suited for this job, but at such a critical time. This is a time of war, as the president said, not against an army somewhere, but a stinking virus.
Right. Something that we haven't confronted for over 100 years. Back at the end of World War One, when the army had to be mobilized to quarantine cities the size of New Orleans. That's the last time veterans confronted anything like this. And the blessing for us is that we have a community, 9.5 million. All of us who have served are used to taking orders, and we're used to responding. For our young people, responding to things and making decisions, life-changing decisions that the average American will never confront. And that makes our community unique. But I will say that the president gave me very explicit instructions early on to aggressively attack this from a public health perspective, which is why we were the first system to start checking people before they went in. We had to make a very difficult decision early on, and that was to close off to visitors and family our assisted living centers, our community living centers. Every day we've got about 7,800 veterans in there. Most of them are from World War II and Korea. And to deprive them of their families at this stage in their lives was a very, very tough thing to do. But to protect them, we had to do it.
We've seen what's happened in healthcare facilities where that hasn't been done, and coronavirus has gotten in there. I can imagine your angst in doing that, though, because we're telling the stories, and we're even thinking about it ourselves. What if we could not go see, physically touch, and be next to those loved ones? That's tough for them and their families.
Yeah, and particularly at that stage of their lives. Just to put that in perspective, last month, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
And as I said, the majority of our veterans in our nursing facilities are from that era in Korea. And that's why that was such a gut-wrenching decision to make. But it was done with the best intentions and to protect those folks.
What do you when you look at these facilities? There's one part of it, and we have a big veterans community here in Southwest Alabama, Northern Gulf Coast, as you know.
Right.
We also have a VA facility. What do you tell those veterans that are going for outpatient, that are going in? I know you have limited some elective surgeries. Can you walk them through what's going on with the VA now?
Sure. We stopped elective surgeries, and we stopped elective surgeries to protect our veterans and to protect our employees. It also was a way for us to stabilize our supply chain, everything from our blood supply to masks and ventilators. We also have slowed down routine care. If you're going to do a wellness visit, we probably stop that to protect you. But we also know, and we probably told everyone, you can contact us through telehealth. And we can probably do that appointment there. But what I am telling veterans, and we've sent out over 40 million communications in the last few weeks.
Wow.
I'm telling them, if you don't feel well, don't come in, call us. That protects you. We'll get the information. We'll point you in the right direction. You can also go to va.gov. You can see everything that's happening in VA, but you can also click on the banner at the top, and that gives you instructions on how to send secure information to us, what to do when you don't feel well. And then the last thing, and I appreciate your indulgence, if a family member or a caregiver or a veteran needs to get in touch with us immediately, we still have the Veterans Crisis Line. That's 800-273-8255. There's no voicemail on that. The wait time's about 8 to 10 seconds.
Wow.
We want you to call that and reach out to us.
That's important, because there's people that need to talk to somebody. I mean, we talk about some of the issues facing our veterans every day, and mental health issues as well. I mean, that doesn't take a back seat during a virus.
Absolutely, and that's why that number is important. And you know, down Interstate 10, now me telling you that tells you where I grew up. Going down Interstate 10 to New Orleans, we have a mobile mental health center in the city now. I mean, if you look at what's going on there, there are 270 veterans who have this in the city of New Orleans, and that's about 25% of all the veterans who have this thing in the country. But mental health there is the focus. And that's why I want Alabamians to look at that crisis line. If they need it, call us, and we can steer you in the right direction.
No, it's great to know that that is available. I've just joining us, talking to Secretary of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie. I want to look at some of the things you all are doing. I saw a story over at, I think it was Military Times, that talked about the VA opening beds to non-veteran patients. I guess that's in New York?
Right. We only do that if veterans are taken care of first. That's our fourth mission. We support the country, but we only support outside entities if veterans are taken care of first. And I'll just say this, unlike Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Louisiana, the percentage of veterans in the population up there is much lower than it is where you are, where I grew up. So we had excess space in our hospital in Brooklyn, and we have excess space in our hospital in Orange, New Jersey. So we will support. And give you another example. We've taken on a national mission from FEMA to provide pharmaceutical supplies, purchasing and distribution of pharmaceutical supplies for FEMA, Health and Human Services, DOD, and the Coast Guard. So we're a backup. But I will say this, we're a bridge. We're not the solution. I'll give you an example. There are over a million healthcare beds, hospital beds in the country. We have 13,000 in VA.
Mm-hmm.
And most days those are occupied to about 70%. So if we can help, we will. But warriors come first.
Well said, as they should. And I know this is the issue of the Navy and not directly with the VA, but I do have to mention, I imagine it was a sigh of relief in New York when the Comfort has shown up here to give some extra beds there, a floating hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was Undersecretary of Defense at the beginning of this administration, so I was responsible for those ships as the Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness. And they're remarkable vehicles. I mean, they have 1,000 beds. They have about 600 medical professionals on board. There's one in Los Angeles or Long Beach, and then there's one in New York City. So that is indicative of the president's commitment, but it's also it shows you what we're capable of doing when we're called upon.
This is, once again, a big issue, and it's interesting to hear you talk about the percentage of veterans elsewhere, because like you, if you grow up here, either somebody is in your family who is a veteran, or it's maybe one degree removed. We all know people that served our country, and this is right up in amongst the most important stories in our community with this fight. So it's good to know you're doing what you're doing. And once again, I think it's important. Let's double back to that 800 number for somebody who needs help right now.
It's 800-273-8255. And I thank you for doing that. I thank you for having me, and I'll come back again. I'd much rather talk to you all than what I'm about to do. I've got more meetings, but I thank you, and thank you for doing what you do for the great state of Alabama. Again, it's a parent's home, and it's just a wonderful place.
United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie, thank you for your time, and we will talk again under better circumstances.
You all take care.
All right, will do.